The island. I'm always thinking about the island, looking for the island, dreaming about the island. I look for it at the end of Simon Street, where you used to be able to see it, an apparition at the end of the road. I wish it was still there. It is still there at the end of Stanley Street, shot through the guts of Grafton Gully, skulking behind the port cranes. You can see it in a photo from 1863, the sky white, the gully blanketed in gorse, and the island a mirror image of the valley's cleft, straddling the broken saddle between Takuranga, Mount Victoria, and Maungoika, North Head. I see it from Titirangi, looking nor'-eastwards to the city, a cut-out satirising a skyline's impermanence, and from Oniwa Road and Birkenhead, with no sea, it seems, to buoy it, lying heavily as a cat on the shore, impervious to Labour weekend wind, blunted in two dimensions, too large to bear. I love to see the island braced behind the harbour bridge as you drive towards the city on the Nor'Western motorway. I look for it there, shouldering the bridge, and I wait for the moment when you can see it perfectly superimposed, the X-ray of ribs etched across its sea-blue grain. In Super 8, I filmed the bride on the balcony of her Prince's Wharf hotel. In the film, you can see the island jittering, its film grain glittering like sand, as it hovers like the sun, ever-present and amused, behind a white wall of Devonport apartments. But I can never come to terms with its youth. I love, as you approach the island, how depth of field is pulled, and it grows and diminishes at once, collapsing away from its edges, like the ground in Hitchcock's famous vertigo shot, betraying and reinventing itself while its profile distorts. I like to think about its sprawl like a dollop of pikelet batter, reaching for the edges of the pan, and which you can only properly see from above, like a saddleback in flight, or standing on a summit whose implacable face I've climbed only once. I remember it as a child on that climb, how hot it was, the scoria emanating its brick-red heat, drawing down the sun upon us, ants in single file, an endless Pohutukawa forest, thickening its surface like moss. Every day, as a child, I lived with the island, seeing it from my bedroom window in Kohimarama, and from the windows of classrooms and at school's edge where the lip of a grass-green rugby pitch dropped clean away behind the goalposts, as if in quiet awe. I'm always thinking of the famous footprints of those witnesses to its birth, concreted into Motutapu ash, a child's and adult's and those of a kuri, who were there in 1350 to see that bloody sky. Nā rangi I tō tongia, a tama te kapua, the days of the bleeding of tama te kapua. I look for the island, and I find it, in Takapuna, of course, standing behind her like a brother, its crown to the southeast from the ridge above Te Awarua, Helensville, and from the Thames coast too, near Te Puru, facing west, where you can just see an island's peak, two distinct lumps skittering on the horizon of an airless, ashless day.